So this morning you get the treat of having some of our ministry leaders share with you. And we've got our pastors and our preschool ministry director. But before we move into their time of sharing what's happened in 2015, what God is doing and speaking to them right now, and what's going to happen in 2016, I have the privilege this morning of introducing our children's pastor. Now, let me explain this to you. In fact, we're going to go ahead and invite you guys up here. Go ahead and come up. David, you stay there before I introduce. And Sharon, you come on up here and join me as well. But let me explain this to you. And I've had many, many questions about it. And I apologize for not being able to go into more detail. But in the course of the last year, I said this in the first service, I'm pretty sure there hasn't been a week that we haven't been talking with a candidate, praying about whether or not that candidate was the right person to be our next children's pastor. So you haven't heard a lot about that because of the sensitivity to the fact that some of those people are serving in other churches, so we couldn't, you know, give that information out. Also, the process is a lengthy one. In almost every case, there are a couple cases that this isn't true, but in most of the cases with these candidates, that process lasted for weeks, and in some cases, a month or two, that we were praying, well, what about this? What do you think of this? What's your philosophy? What do you think about the way we do this? Those kind of things. And as God led, some of those candidates decided, you know, probably Wildwood's not the perfect place for us right now. And we decided probably Wildwood's not the perfect place for you right now. And we went through that whole process throughout the year. Well, last May, David Johnston and his wife Jennifer and their daughter Natalie, who's dying to be up here with me right now. I can hear it, right? I mean, she's crying to be with me right now. Right, Natalie? You're wanting with Pastor Rick, aren't you? She's like, no, keeping away from him. So we started talking, and they came here to our church. And David actually participated with us in VBS and did some other things with us in children's ministry. He's been serving in the children's ministry. Well, let me give you some background. He has served as both a youth pastor as well as other age-graded ministries. He's been a camp director at Camp Kaleo with children. Got a vast background in children's ministry. He's finishing up his Master's of Divinity at New Orleans Theological Seminary. He'll have that. He's three classes away from completing that. He's ordained and licensed. So we began to revisit the possibility of him coming on as our pastor. This is what David has asked. He's asked that we affix the title of interim pastor, children's pastor, to that, because he wants to be sure this is exactly what the Lord is leading him to do right now in this time of his life. Likewise, he wants us to have an opportunity to see him in action and then decide whether or not we want to remove that interim title. And the reason that he and Jennifer wanted to do that was one of the sweetest reasons that I've ever heard. It was their idea, not necessarily mine, but they said, just in case God's not moving us to serve in that capacity, we don't want to leave Wildwood. We want to continue to go here. So if we become your children's pastor and it's not working out, we'd have to leave, and we don't want to leave. So I thought, my goodness, what a great reason to call yourself interim for just a couple months as we evaluate the process. So I'm going to ask you guys to come on up here. Natalie's right on cue. She knew I was going to invite her, so she's wanting to say hello. But I want to introduce to you David Johnston, his wife Jennifer, and their daughter Natalie. Will you welcome them to the Wildwood family? Yeah. Say hi to everyone, Natalie. Hi, everyone. Yeah. What are they doing? I'm going to give David just a couple moments here to share with you some of his vision for children's ministry. I think you're going to enjoy that. And we're going to let Natalie get to her class. So, Pastor David.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. Despite the way it looks, we're excited to be here. Jennifer and I are excited. This is home for us. We both grew up in Metro Atlanta. Jennifer went to Lassiter High School, so this is really home for us, and we're excited to be a part of Wildwood. We joined in May. We've been here a few months now. We've enjoyed not just being a part of the children's ministry, but being a part of the whole church at Wildwood, and there's a lot of things that we have loved in our time here. In that time, we've gotten the chance to serve in children's ministry with VBS and all the things that have happened since then, and so we're excited about that. As I look back at 2015, we weren't able to be here the whole year, but there's a lot of things we were able to be a part of, and I know that a lot of great things are happening at Wildwood, and that's one of the things that excited us about being here. The children's ministry, there's three things that kind of stuck out to me. There's things that we definitely can't get rid of. Number one, that we put an emphasis on security and making sure that the children are in a safe place, and so that parents know that children are being taken care of. That's absolutely something we're going to continue to do. That we provide a fun and engaging environment for children, that they can come and that they can do things that are geared towards their age group. And so I'm excited that we're going to continue to do those things. And then the other thing is that we provided gospel-centered ministry, that we provide a children's curriculum where children don't just come and learn a story and learn what to do and what not to do, but they learn how all of that is tied into Christ and the grand story of the Bible and God's redemptive work through Christ in that. So this morning, they're up there not just learning about the wise men, but they're learning about God's redemptive story and how God planned that in the Old Testament and prophesied that Jesus would come and be the king that the wise men came to worship. And so we're excited about all of those things, and we're going to continue to do all those things. And my hope in 2016 is that children's ministry becomes more of family ministry. Because when you think about it, when you think about the chief theologian, the chief teacher, the main person who teaches and trains a child, it's not a children's pastor. It's not their Sunday school teacher. It's really their parents. It's who they look up to and who teach them how to live God-honoring lives. As I thought about that, I was reminded of the verse in Deuteronomy, the passage there, which is really, in many ways, it's the John 3:16 for Israelite children as they grew up. It's something they would have recited in their homes. It's something they would have learned in each week, and they would have known and spoken of often. In Deuteronomy 6, it says this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might." And God gives that command to us. But what I really love about that is what comes next. What excites me about children's ministry is what it says next. And he says, "And these words I command to you, that it shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them to your children diligently, and you shall talk to them, and when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so it's something that children learn all throughout their life, not just when they go to church on Wednesday or Sunday, not just when they come and learn a Bible lesson at church, but it's something they learn all throughout as they're at home and when they lie down and when they wake up, that we teach them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. And so in many ways, children's ministry becomes family ministry. My hope is that we come and we provide opportunities so that we can equip parents with opportunities and resources to teach their children these things so that they don't just learn it at church, so they can take it home and they can learn together as a family. So that's what I'm excited about in 2016 as we look forward to a new year in children's ministry. And once again, we're excited to be here. It's exciting to see all the things that God has done and all the things he's going to do. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, David. Isn't that exciting to have him here? It's going to be an amazing journey with the Johnson family. So it's good to have them here, and we're grateful to God for them. Rather than introduce all of these people, Pastor Steve and Pastor Terry, you see fairly frequently here. Pastor Terry joins us typically at the end of services. He also shares from the pulpit, as does Pastor Steve, and he leads us in worship. But you don't always see Sharon Carmichael. So I want to introduce her, and then I'll let Pastor Terry and Pastor Steve share. But Sharon is often with the preschoolers and doesn't have an opportunity to join us frequently. Every once in a while you slip in here. I see you come in the back and slip out when a number flashes on the wall. She heads out even if it's not her children. I'm grateful for her service. She really is an amazing person and follower of Christ. She does things outside of leading our preschool ministry in a fantastic way. So it's good to have a person of her caliber and quality leading a ministry at Wildwood. So with no further ado, will you welcome your children's preschool director, Ms. Sharon Carmichael.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to stand up here for you guys today and just give you a little bit of an idea of what the Lord is doing in the preschool in this past year. 2015 was a very busy year for us, as you'll see some of the fun moments from this past year are scrolling while I'm speaking. This past year in 2015 in the preschool, we changed 853 diapers. We sang Jesus Loves Me 112 times. And we served 495,362 goldfish crackers. But in all seriousness, what we do in the preschool is a little bit hard and difficult to measure because the kids that age can't all verbalize what they're learning. But I can assure you that they are learning every moment that they're here in church on Sunday mornings, and they are learning quite a bit. We've seen a lot of fruit from this year. So I'm going to just try to highlight a few of the things. We have 16 incredibly dedicated regular teachers who serve at least every other week, if not every week. Many of them serve every week. On our monthly schedule, we have a total of 66 teachers who serve, and we have three amazing coordinators. And I would be amiss not to mention them, because I could not do what I do without them. Kristen Coggins, Mandy Roper, and Heather Lee are an incredible, incredible blessing and asset to this ministry. So thank them when you see them in the halls. This year, we were able to update and repaint four of our downstairs classrooms. Also, I wanted to mention our Wednesday night program is just a huge, huge blessing to be a part of. Our 3- and 4-year-olds are working every week to memorize scripture. Every month we introduce a new scripture passage that's fairly long for 3- and 4-year-olds. And then we introduce some hand motions to go along with it to help them remember it. And they really, really get into it and have done an incredible job memorizing those scriptures. This summer, our preschoolers performed an adorable musical entitled David and the Giant. And since they performed it before the Jamie Grace concert, I think we can technically say they opened for Jamie Grace. We also had a fantastic VBS this summer that we got to see a lot of fruit from. And one recurring theme in the preschool that has been recurring for the several previous years, but very much so in 2015, is relationship building. I've seen teachers form some very strong relationships when they serve together week after week. I've also seen those same teachers form very strong relationships with the kids that they teach week after week. There's absolutely nothing that warms my heart more than to see a child run into a classroom and run up and give their teachers a hug because they're so excited to be there. And I get to see that on a weekly basis. I've also seen the kids build incredibly sweet relationships with Jesus, which is what it's all about. And let me tell you something. If you need to change your perspective on life, if you're just feeling down about life, come and join us on a Wednesday night in our 3- and 4-year-old classes. When you see these kids on their face, one of the pictures will show, you've probably already seen it, but on their face praying before the Lord, it will change your perspective. Their prayers are precious. So the relationships that I see just continue to be a huge encouragement and a huge blessing to me week after week. So that's just kind of a brief summary of 2015 and some of the things the Lord has done. We're very excited to look ahead to next year. In the preschool, our big emphasis this year is going to be training and equipping teachers to be the most effective that we can all be, always striving for excellence. So we're not going to waste any time. If you saw in your bulletin on January 24th, we're going to jump right in. And we're going to have a dinner by the dockside evening. You'll be hearing more about this in the next coming weeks, but we'll have some RSVPs coming out. It's an evening of appreciation and training for all of our teachers, regardless of how often you serve. If you are on our schedule one time a month, or if you're on our schedule every single month, we strongly encourage you to come. We really want you to be there. Also, if you've never served with us before and you're just thinking, I don't know if I want to get into that, come and join us. We'd love to have you, and you get you a little bit of an idea of what we're doing. Child care will be provided. We're going to be going over some new policies for 2016, as well as covering some very important safety information that you need to know as teachers. And parents, if you are a parent of a preschooler, just wanted to give you a little heads up and FYI that we're going to begin doing practice fire drills on Sunday mornings with our preschoolers in February, just to get them comfortable with it, to get our teachers comfortable with it. We'll do it in a fun way where they won't be scared. We'll try not to have the entire auditorium evacuated. I'm sure Pastor Rick would appreciate that. But if your preschooler comes home in several weeks and tells you, we had a fire drill, and you're wondering why you didn't get the memo, that's why. Let's see. Another thing that I would love to implement in 2016 is to have structured stations or rotations for our preschoolers during second hour, similar to what we do during VBS. During VBS week, we have an absolute blast, and the kids are moving constantly, and they are staying busy. And I would love to implement that during our second hour, have a music room, a Bible story room, a game room, missions room. But in order to do that, I'm going to need your help. I need several more, two or three or four more teachers who would be willing to come and join us on a weekly basis during second hour. Every station that we would set up would be relevant to their lesson so that they would be constantly learning, and the biblical theme would be reinforced over and over and over again, which is what preschoolers need. So, for example, if you were the music teacher, you would come and lead the children in singing and praise and worship with some hand motions, and you might do it three or four times during that one lesson for three or four different classes, and it's a ton of fun. The 3- and 4-year-olds absolutely love it. They get into it. Even our 2-year-olds jump around and dance and just have a really great time. So if you're interested in that, please let us know. We'd love to have you join our team so that we can implement that new structure for second hour. Before I close, I just want to share a quick minute, something the Lord showed me recently that I thought was very profound. It's a very, it's just a new thought, completely new thought from a very familiar passage. Many of us know the story of Moses. We know that his mother, Jochebed, put him in the basket in the Nile River to save his life from the Pharaoh. We know that Miriam, his sister, watched from the shore, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And with the help of Jochebed as a nursemaid, the Pharaoh's daughter and his mother raised him. He later became a mighty leader of God and led the Israelites out of Egypt and forever changed the course of history for the Israelite nation. But what occurred to me that was completely a new thought the other day was that, do you think Miriam or Pharaoh's daughter, or even Jochebed, his mother, had any idea what Moses would one day become when they were caring for him? They had absolutely no idea what the future held. And as we read that story, we're reading in the past tense. We know how the story's going to end. We know that one day he's going to rise up and be a mighty leader for God. But they didn't know that at the time. When they went out of their way to invest in the life of a child, they didn't know how the story would end. So how would our preschool ministry be different if we could walk into a classroom? Just imagine with me for a minute. If we could walk into a classroom and every little child in that room had a bubble over their head, and that bubble said what they're going to do when they grow up for Christ. What is this little one going to do with his life for Christ? How many souls will that one lead to Christ? How many hurting people will this one invite to church because they were taught at a young age that church is a safe place for the hurting? Could this one become the next Billy Graham? Could this one become the next public figure, the next leader of our nation? What would that motivate and encourage us to pour into these little lives? I know it does for me. Now, what if I told you that each Sunday that you serve, because many of you are serving, and every Sunday that you serve, you have an opportunity to impact and influence what their bubble says. You can change the course of their life and what their bubble says based on how you pour God into their hearts. That's exactly what our preschool teachers are doing on a weekly basis. And I'm so incredibly grateful to each and every one of you. I can't thank you enough. So many of you have come alongside and joined us, and we thank you for that. Thank you.
Good morning. Everybody all right? Need to stand up and move around? Just kidding. So 2015, Pastor Rick asks us to do this every year, and when he does, it's difficult to pick one thing. As we go throughout the year, there's so many things that happen just throughout that time. And so I want to reflect back. I want to look back with you and just kind of highlight a couple of things. But, the big thing, 2014, and you're like, but Pastor Terry, this is 2015. I know. 2014, we said we were going to raise the bar. I really felt a lot of conviction about that. So we went from 2014 to saying that we were going to raise the bar to 2015, saying that we were just going to continue to raise the bar, that we were going to continue to push forward, 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 and just continue to challenge the students with Philippians 3:14, where we're supposed to press towards the goal. And I believe we did that. I think there were several things that happened throughout the year that we continued just to push them and to challenge them in their relationship with the Lord. However, I will say this. One of the things I told the students and I said to our leaders, and I continue to say to them, is we can't expect the students to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves. We can't tell them that you're going to do this, or we think you should do this, or we expect you to do this if we're not doing it ourselves. And that even starts with me. I can't tell my leaders I want you to do this if I'm not willing to do it myself either. So that challenge and all the challenges that have happened this year have not only been something that have gone to the students, but it's gone to the leadership, which I can't even begin to tell you. I could take up 30 minutes of talking about each one of my leaders and telling you how awesome they are. But them all the way to me, because the expectation has to really start with me as the leader of the student ministry. So just looking at a couple of things, Disciple Now was really incredible this year. We did something that we've never done before, and that we combined with First Baptist Kennesaw, which brought in a ton more students. Bringing in a ton more students adds to the chaos and the craziness of the weekend, which was awesome. The big thing for that weekend, outside of the teaching and the worship and everything that took place, was the ministry time for as far as the missions aspect of it. We donated bicycles that our students built themselves. We ordered those in, and we had those come in. They were supposed to be here about 3 days early. They literally came in as we were ready to start building them that night. So there was just a little bit of panic on my behalf as I'm looking at, 100 and some odd people standing there scratching my head going, I don't know what we're going to do. So even just stretching us then as to how we were going to press in and how we were going to see how God was going to move. So Disciple Now, Snowbird, our summer camp was incredible even in and of itself. The theme for Snowbird this past year for the summer was the resurrection. It was absolutely incredible. I will have to say, and I think the students and leaders that went with me, it's probably the best year of Snowbird that we've had, as they're nodding their heads yes. Just the challenges that were put in front of us, the things that we discussed and talked about were absolutely incredible. One of the big things with that, we left for the summer with share groups. It's something that happens every single night when you're there during Snowbird during the week. It's carried over even to when we came home, and there are still small groups of guys and girls that are getting together for those share groups on Wednesdays, which has been pretty awesome, weekly. We then moved into the summer with, or towards the end of the summer, with Roots, which was our local mission project. We had 25-some-odd students and leaders that were here. We stayed at the church and worked at different schools and different things throughout the week and did all kinds of different things, so much so that the schools, our students, worked so hard and so well together. We got the work done early and had to figure out things that we were going to be able to do to continue the week because we got all the work done that they had for us done very, very quickly. So congratulations. Y'all did an awesome job. Probably the next really big thing for me, we talked about this with you guys. We shared this with you guys. Y'all knew that it was going on. It was absolutely incredible, was our memory verse challenge for the summer. We did it for the 3 months of the summer. There, over those 3 months, there were 2,269 verses that were memorized by our students and leaders. It was an amazing thing, and I'm still blown away by that. The next thing that came up, which again was just that continuing to raise the bar and continuing to push forward in our relationship with Christ, something that just exploded on its own. It happened with a conversation with me of just saying, hey, I just feel like I need to know more. I need to read more. A 90-day, or read your Bible in 90 days challenge came up, and from one of our leaders. Again, taking on that challenge, I said, okay, I can't let you do this by yourself. So I started doing it. I then challenged our men with it. And then it went from our men to our women to our students. And it just kind of took off from there and took a life of its own, which was awesome. Even so far as to then make its way into some of the homes, where parents were then contacting me. And I've still even recently had parents contact me and say, Terry, it's been awesome to be able to do this with my child, to sit down and read these things together and discuss these things together. And, it's a very large challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. It is very difficult. It is 16 chapters a day that we have to read. To make this happen, and it's quite the challenge. So, all of that said, a lot happened in 2015, and we're going to continue just to push forward. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to raise the bar for the students and the expectations as believers as to what we should expect of ourselves, which I think we have to do. However, moving into 2016, I want you to watch this video. After you watch this video, it's 30 seconds long. After we watch that, I want to then tell you what our theme for 2016 is going to be.
My old squaw leader,
Now, what's funny is y'all are clapping, but some of my leaders are going, oh, no. don't worry. It's okay. Anyway, you know, as I saw that video and as I have been reading through the Old Testament, when I was making my way through Nehemiah, that's what I'm going to share with you here in just a minute. The big thing that I want you to see and I want you to hear from this is, and take away from that video, is the fact that one man could not do that by himself. There's no way that he could have gotten over that wall by himself. Okay? It had to be done together. They had to go as a group. They had to move together in order to make that happen. Let's look really quickly in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. I'll read this to you. It says, in Judah, it was said, the strength of those who are bearing the burdens are failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And the enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in the open places, I stationed the people by their clans and with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and I arose and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. As I read that, you know, there's a lot of opposition that was taking place with Nehemiah during that time and attempting to build the wall. As I read that, it brought back to mind one of the things that I tell the students and our leaders all the time, and that's John 10:10, where it tells us that there is an enemy that we have that is out there to kill us, to steal, and to destroy us. That is what his goal is. And guys, I'll be honest with you. For those of you that don't have students, for those of you that that are well beyond that, it doesn't take long to see and to realize and to recognize I wouldn't want to be a student now. There's no way I would want to be back in school and be their age and to have to deal and with and confront the things that are coming at them all the time. And there is a true enemy that's out there that wants to rob them of their joy, that wants to steal their joy, to kill them, to destroy the things that they want to do and the things that they want to see. And I don't say that to scare them. I don't say that to scare you. They know that. But it's to let them know that there is a God that is out there to help them. And one of the things with all of that said, when I went back and I looked at verse 14, and I saw that, and it said that we are supposed to not be afraid, that we are supposed to protect, and we're supposed to fight for our brothers and our sons, our daughters, our sisters, our wives, and our homes. That's the one thing that just jumped out to me, and the only way that we can do this is if we do it together. That's the only way that we can do it. To just sum up 2016 for us, we're going to do this together. We're going to continue to push forward. We're going to continue to raise the bar, but we're going to do it together. Thanks.
Well, our purpose in the Wildwood Worship Ministry is really to do whatever we can do to build a flow of worship from you to God. Your connection to God in our time of worship is really more important to us than anything else. And that is real simply just the purpose that we have and what we're trying to do. And I want to thank you for all of the encouragement that you give to our worship ministry and the support that you've given us in 2015. And really never a Sunday goes by when someone doesn't make their way to me after one of the services to let me know that there was something in the worship ministry today that was encouraging them and giving them something that they need for the week. And I greatly appreciate that. Some of those moments are awkward for me. And the reason why they're awkward is because I actually have so little to do with that. It's two things. It's the activity of God, both working in the hearts and lives of the people that you see as a part of the worship team, as well as in our congregation. And then it's the hard work of all of the people around me. We have great people behind the scenes in our technical area and people that work diligently with our bands and with our singers. And so when we come to a Sunday morning service, so many hours of effort have gone into it, and you come and you thank me for it, and I want to say I did this much, and so much more was done by so much more people and the activity of God. But I'm appreciative of the encouragement and appreciative of the fact that each and every week you let me know of ways in which God has spoken to you and touched your heart. 2015 was really a great year for our worship ministry. We added new people and we tried things that we have never tried before. Because God is great and because he has done so many wonderful things through the worship ministry this year, it would take too long to go through the entire year, but just to highlight a few things that happened in 2015, we had terrific Easter services. Our Easter services started over on the barn property at Sunrise and then ended with two more services here. We had Carrie Roberts here with her band. She was wonderful. She was a delight from the moment that she came here to the moment that she left. She loved you. She loved being here, and you guys were certainly warm and gracious to her as well. The crowds on Easter were just great. The weather was wonderful. The sun rose at exactly the right time over there on the barn property. The gospel was shared, and the Lord was worshiped. It was just one of the most fun Easters I think I've ever been a part of. On Mother's Day, we had our first ever men and boys worship choir, and that was super cool. It was amazing. As you see on the picture there, the entire platform was filled with men and boys, fathers and sons and uncles and nephews and whoever else we had up there. And it was just a thrilling and amazing time. Great way to kick off Mother's Day. On Back to Church Sunday, we had Jason Castro here with us, both in the morning as well as here for an evening concert. We had a huge crowd that day. We had the most awesomest food trucks you could ever have. In fact, there was a little bit of a worship experience I was having when I went out in the parking lot with the food trucks. I mean, it didn't stop with the worship service. It kind of continued on out there. And I thought that the day was just wonderful. I was introduced by you to the guests that you had brought both in the morning As well as back in the evening when we came back for the concert, there was a whole different set of guests who came, who weren't with us in the morning, but came back at night. And that's why we do the Back to Church Sunday Day. It's to invite people in to our congregation, to have them experience Wildwood. And we greatly appreciate you taking part in that. In November this year, we tried something that we'd never tried before. And in one of our night of worship experiences, we tried what we call worship in the round. And in our Faith Center, which is our large room in the very back of this building, we put our band right in the middle, and just we put all the chairs all the way around the band. And instead of being about 25 or 30 feet from the band, like we are on Sunday mornings, you were inches from us. I mean, I was playing keyboard and there was people standing right here behind me. And it was so cool because for us, when we were leading, we could really feel and sense how the Spirit was working and moving in you. And we could see you and you were right there. And it was just amazing. It was as if you were all a part of this one big worship band that we were having. And we loved it. And hopefully you loved it too. It was just a great way to kick off the Thanksgiving season. And this year, we really probably had one of the most incredible and unforgettable Christmas concerts that we have ever had. The music and the lighting and the tech, everything was new to us this year. It was a stretch for our team, and they really rose to the challenge. And the evening was really, really, truly worshipful and truly amazing. We had just a great, great time. So for this next year, what are we going to do? Well, we've got a lot of things going on in 2016. We're going to continue to work to build our band and our worship choir program. In order to do that, we're going to need some of you. Some of you who may have been thinking for a while, maybe I should join in on what's happening with the choir. Maybe I should join in with the band. Well, come and give that a try. Make that your New Year's resolution in 2016. Some of the times I hear excuses from people, which are, yeah, I used to play guitar when I was younger, but my guitar has kind of been sitting in the hall closet for the past few years and not even sure I could play anymore. Well, come bring your guitar, play it for us, and let us help you, put you on a path to get yourself back into shape to play again. Quite possibly the guitar that you have in your closet really wasn't just for you to have some fun strumming a few years ago. Maybe God is the one who put that into your hands, and maybe he had a purpose for you that's going to be revealed in 2016. You never know. So pray about that and see if God wants you to come and be a part of our band. Maybe he wants you to come and be a part of our worship choir. And the most often thing that I hear people say is, oh, you don't want me up there. That's usually what people say to me. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. Number one, we do not have to turn on all those microphones. I'm just saying. But if you are a worshiper by nature and by heart and you love to worship, you may be a wonderful gift to us in helping us lead worship in the congregation. So don't discount it just because you think that you may not be able to be up for the task. Come and see us, and we would love to see if we can get you ready and get you a part of our team and then the ongoing ministry. Also coming up in 2016, I'm pretty excited about this, our children's choir ministry. We'll be performing a musical entitled Happily Forever After. If you've seen any of our kids' choir musicals from the past couple of years, you know that these kids who are about this big get on the stage and they recite extended lines and they do complicated staging and choreography that would confuse almost every adult in this room if we had to do any of it. And they do this entire program of it and do an incredible job. That's coming up in May. Coming up also, we have four very special nights of worship that we will be putting on in 2016. One of those will be called Stations of Worship, and that's where we take the Faith Center, this room back here, and we divide it up into different rooms, a room that would be a room for prayer, a room that would be a room for musical worship, a room for scripture reading, a room for Lord's Prayer. And in each of these different rooms, you can go through, spend as much time as you want in each one. And instead of there being one large group worship experience, the worship experience is sort of fluid and ongoing all throughout the evening. You can go in any order you want. You can go to whichever room you want. You can go to a room twice if you want to, or you can skip a room. However it is that God leads you through the evening, the whole purpose of the evening is just for you to connect with God in a way that's real and personal. We'll also be doing a Good Friday worship time. We do this every year, and 7 o'clock on Good Friday evening, we gather together in this room for a time of family communion and a time of worship together. We're going to do something also this year that we're going to call Roots Worship. And when I use the term roots, musically, typically what we're talking about is we're talking about the family gathered on the front porch of their Appalachian cabin with the instruments that they made by hand. Do you get that idea? So it's really kind of a very Appalachian styled worship time. We'll do some older songs. We'll use some mandolin, banjo, stand up bass type instruments, those kinds of things, and have that experience, hopefully coming up in September. And then we'll kick off the Thanksgiving season again with another acoustic night of worship, probably similar to the worship in the round that we did this past November. On Mother's Day this year, we will bring back the men and boys worship choir. This year, I would love to not only fill the space, but I would like to have men and boys just filtering all out into here. I would love it to be larger than the space that we have, and just have a wonderful time of worship with our men and boys on Mother's Day. And then also, here's just an idea that I've had for about 16 years. I think this coming year is the year to do it. And that is on Christmas Eve, on one of our Christmas Eve services, we'd like to have a family worship choir. And here's how that works. I'm going to encourage all of the members of our current worship choir to not only commit to come and sing on one of the Christmas Eve services, but to bring their family members with them and that they sing as a family. So kind of get this. Christmas Eve, you're all sitting around, you're having the Christmas Eve brunch, and someone says, hey, it's time for me to go sing in the Christmas Eve choir. Why don't you all come and sing with me? And before they say no, just shove them into the car and drag them onto the stage. Now, we don't want to make anybody angry with it. But what a great opportunity as a family to join in together leading the congregation in worship. So we're going to give that a try this Christmas Eve and see what happens. Again, our purpose is really to do one simple thing, and that's to do whatever we can to help build a flow of worship between you and God, because your connection to God and worship matters to us more than anything else. We are truly grateful for all the support and encouragement that you give us, and we look forward to seeing more of you come and join our worship family.
Thanks, Pastor Steve.
All right, we're going to wrap things up by saying this. Our mission here at Wildwood is to lead people to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And in a study time, I've been seeking the Lord to the direction that he would have us to go as a church. So I get to share that information with you next week. I'm grateful for the ministry of these folks and for David, who had to rush out of here to get up to children's ministry because they were shorthanded today, so he could not stay with us. But I really believe and even sense that the Holy Spirit is leading us to a very new place in a brand new journey in 2016. So again, I'm excited about sharing some of that next week. Let me just give you a real quick prelude to that. I think that when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that there's a radical change that occurs in your life. I think that happens every single time you encounter a God who the Bible describes as living within you. And I think the natural outpouring of when that happens is that we become disciple makers. We become sharers of Christ and inviters to meet Christ. And we become people who not just share love, which is incredibly an important part of all of that. We have to do that. Certainly Jesus did that as well. But we share truth with people about Jesus Christ. I think that's the journey that we're about to embark on, that we as a church not only show up in the phenomenal way that you did this last year, but we show up with people who desperately need to know the Savior that you know, who you've met, who's radically changed your life. So fasten your seatbelts. I think we're in for quite a journey on this ride of 2016. And I want you to think about this for a second with me in light of the fact that we are here together today and none of us know what tomorrow is going to hold or bring. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that you've been radically changed? I mean, if you look at your life and maybe the year at a glance, you look back, do you see this progression of faith, this progression of belief, this progression of becoming more Christ-like? Do you see that in your life? If we were to approach people who spend the most time with you, would they tell us, you are on fire for the Lord. There's just no mistaking the fact that you've given your life to Christ and Christ is doing amazing things to your life. Would that be their report? I don't say any of that to guilt anybody, but when I read scripture, I read about people's lives who are not only radically changed, but who do things that they would have never done had Christ not changed their lives. He doesn't come into our hearts and work in our lives in order that we remain the same. He does his work in such a way that it reflects his glory and his majesty. And so suddenly we become passionate followers of him in such a manner that we act in ways that are peculiar to many because of our passion for him and our love for him and our desire to serve him. And I think that's a prelude to what Christ is going to do in our church as well. So getting back to you individually, do you sense he's changed you? Do you sense that the you that you used to be is dead and buried and the new you is come to life and he's using you in very, very unique ways that go beyond even anything that you would know to ask for yourself? Because if that isn't true in your life, think about this for a second. Imagine you thinking that you believed and you recognize that according to what scripture says, that the evidence of that is not known by others. So you've got kind of a quandary. You've got a choice. Am I really going to place my faith and trust in him so he can do that kind of work in me? Choice number one. Or number two, is there a part of my life that I'm holding back that I need to release to him to really do this amazing work that scripture says he always does when we invite him to be our Savior and Lord, when he does his miraculous work in our life? So will you bow your head with me real quick and close your eyes and just go ahead and review this with me. Is this something that God has done in your life? Has he radically changed you? And I'm not even asking, note this, I'm not asking, is this something that you believe? Because 9 out of 10 people will tell you that they believe in Jesus in America. And I'm not even asking you, do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Because the same 9 out of 10 would say, yes, I do believe when I die, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. What I'm asking you is, do you see this radical change that scripture speaks of in your life? And if you don't, would now be a moment that you say to him, it's time for you to take me fully. I'm yours. You've made me, you formed me, you shaped me. And now, Jesus, I want to experience the true meaning and purpose that you gave me for this life so that you're honored and glorified. Is that something that you want to tell him today? Just bow your head right now. Just close your eyes. Just think about this. Is there something that you need to say to him before you start into 2016 later this week? Say it to him. Ask him to move. Seek his holy face and let his divine providence so impact your life that it would be impossible for you right now not to be emotional. Because he's here and he loves you. And his desire is to do amazing things through you so that people who really know you know it's not you. They know it's him. Ask him to do that in your life in this next year and cap it off by claiming that in the name of the Savior who died on the cross so that all of that can be true for you. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen.